And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today is Pastor Paul T. Murphy. He's pastor of evangelism at Messiah's Reformed Fellowship. And Pastor Murphy, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Last time we met, you reminded me we were using the telephone. Today we're using a Zoom line. And if this was video, people could see your office and lines of books on either side of the office.
And more outside.
You're a student of God's Word. I came across an article that you wrote in Christian Renewal magazine. I get that because, I found out about it through Jerry Wiss, a guy that we work with here at the ministry.
Yep.
And, your article is titled Making Room at the Table, Hospitality and Evangelistic Fruit. So I'm thinking that some people are probably like me. They're afraid of meeting others. I'm not too good at that. But this is a wonderful way to meet others and have an input into their lives, evangelistically speaking, and maybe not feel so much pressure. So can you take it away and tell us a little bit about your article here, Pastor Murphy?
Sure. I think that hospitality is not often thought of as a means of conducting evangelism, although Rosaria Butterfield has given it some impetus with her recent book, The Gospel Comes with the House Key. Actually,
yes.
I think she's written another book since then, but a lot of people have read that book, and of course, she herself was hosted by a pastor and to a dinner in that pastor's home, which led to a relationship which eventually led to her becoming a Christian. And I think that we have practiced hospitality for years, my wife and I, and have been pleased to see people come to faith as a result of mm-hmm. hospitality, along with attending worship and one thing or the other. But I think that it's very important that we in the church provide a warm and welcoming environment for visitors who come. And what I mean by that is not just a handshake and here's the bulletin and have a seat, mm-hmm. But inviting people into your home following worship as well, getting to know them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an excellent opportunity not only to add to the context or the environment of the church so that it is warm and welcoming to people who come, but it's an excellent opportunity to meet people, to get to know them, and yet to have that happen on your turf and mm-hmm. on your terms in your home. So I think it's excellent. I would encourage it for every member of a Christian church to do that.
Amen. In your article, you reference some scripture passages, and I looked them up and I printed them out. Romans 12:13 talks about distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality.
Yes.
There's one here that refers to, I believe it's women, where it says, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Wow, what a job is laid out here.
Yes, absolutely.
It can almost be discouraging. There's so much work that's implied in this simple verse. You mentioned Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. That's a hilarious verse. That's an amazing verse. I don't fully understand it, but that's amazing. You know, something's happening in the spiritual world. Many times, I just don't see it.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
And this be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Well, I must say, I grumble sometimes. I'm guilty of grumbling, and I shouldn't do that. But you take it away. What about the requirements for elders, too?
Yeah, I think that's very important, and it's one that you don't hear much about.
No.
We focus on many qualifications for elder, and yet that one is often either overlooked, omitted, or certainly neglected. And, you know, I've served two churches, and I have not always had elders that practiced hospitality.
Yeah. The verse you mentioned was 1 Timothy 3:2. It says, yeah. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable. There it is again, able to teach. Yeah. And then you mentioned also, you referenced also Titus 1:8, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. Wow, what yeah. requirements there are for elders.
Yeah, I think it's very important. I think that one of the downsides, mistakes maybe, would be too harsh that we have in the contemporary church is that we have relegated the office of elder to being an administrator.
Yes.
And the elder of office is intended to be a shepherd.
Yes.
And, of course, shepherds have to know the sheep, not just feed the sheep or see that they're fed, but know the sheep. And
yeah.
What better way to get to know your sheep than to have them in your home?
Now, here's an interesting question. This is a little bit off subject maybe, but I know that you are now pastor of evangelism, and you have a pastor of the church that does most of the pulpit ministry, I believe, because you've moved on to this pastor of evangelism. How is that working out, and isn't that a better model than just having one pastor carrying the whole load?
Yes, I think it's very important to have two pastors.
Yeah.
And I think that I like to say that what we're doing now is a model whose time has come.
Yes.
I think that, you know, of course, Paul says to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. So every pastor should be engaged in doing the work of evangelism. However, most men I know are so overloaded.
Yeah.
The responsibilities of the pastorate that they do not have time in their weekly schedule to do evangelism.
Right.
I have recently recommended in a couple of forums that pastors suggest to their elders that they be given 10% of their time to do evangelism. The response was not heartening. One pastor said to me, he said, you better not say that too loud or you'll get your head cut off.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, even with, I guess that goes along with any jobs. You get into something and you think you're going to be doing A, and then you do A plus B plus C, and you hadn't really planned for that. And the admin part is huge many times on various yeah. jobs.
Yeah.
We rely on a lady. She actually works across the United States in Arizona, and she picked up our bookkeeping, and we work with her to do our bookkeeping. She logs in here remote, and that was after we lost our bookkeeper, Wilma, who passed less than a year ago, and so her sister-in-law was available to pick it up. But my point is that I don't know what we do without people picking things like that up. You know, when you're doing a church, you're trying to run a church, just the finances alone is just a huge, huge thing with running a church.
Yeah. I really do think it's an idea whose time has come.
Yeah.
And it could greatly enhance the ministry to relieve the pastor of the majority of that responsibility. He should still do evangelism.
Yeah.
But that there is somebody devoted to that particular task and to equipping the saints for the work of ministry, what church would not be enhanced
oh, yeah.
By that?
Oh, yeah. And I think it also protects the church, protects the pastor from a burnout type of a scenario, and we don't want that. We want our pastors to stay healthy and enjoy life and not not get so burned out.
I've gone through a period of burnout here in New York City many years ago.
I believe
simply being overloaded, overburdened.
Now, today we're talking with Pastor Paul T. Murphy. And dear listener, you sometimes hear him on Proclamation. We air, I think it's on Thursday, we air Kevin Hosink. And then we sometimes alternate one of your sermons in there, Pastor Murphy, if it's available. There's not too many that are available anymore.
where are you looking for them? They're on Sermon Audio.
They're on Sermon Audio. Okay, good. Yes. So then maybe I'm just, I didn't look far enough down the list.
Yeah. Well, if you're looking on our congregation's Sermon Audio website, yeah, of course, I'm not filling the pulpit primarily anymore.
Yeah, right.
But you can go to the name. You can go to the name rather than the church. And
that's what I
need
to do.
There are thousands, I think.
Good. Well, you've got a lot to say. I'm just looking at the clock. We have plenty of time yet. We've got another 12 minutes or so. I did want to...
Could I comment on hospitality?
Yes.
The word for hospitality in the New Testament, in the passages that you read, is philoxenia, which literally, in one of the texts you read, is translated love of strangers. Hmm. And that is not just family or friends, but strangers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's particularly pertinent for those who are visiting the congregation.
Yeah.
Or as our urban areas grow more and more ethnically and internationally diverse.
Sure. Especially New York City, that's the case.
Especially New York City.
Oh,
we have had 29 different nationalities in our congregation.
Yeah.
We recently had people up for dinner here. And represented at, around the table were Korean, Chinese, South American, I'm forgetting what country.
Yeah.
And multiple nationalities just at one meal.
Isn't that really neat?
Yeah.
And to think that love of Christ is the overriding glue that keeps everything together.
Yes.
It's an amazing thing. And we see it in worship and God's people worshiping the Lord, and they don't all look the same, but it's the same Lord Jesus Christ that we are worshiping. So hospitality, it's important. And even if you feel like, what about a mom might feel like, with all these kids, the house is an absolute wreck. How can I possibly have somebody over, especially at the last minute? Have you ever sensed that concern?
Yes, I learned a lesson from a Dutch grandmother in Michigan years ago, who said that she would not allow her house being less than perfect to keep her from being a hostess.
Oh, yeah.
I thought she would have people over to her home every Sunday.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's a saying in Michigan about being Dutch clean in terms of cleaning the house and get. But she was like, if my house is not all in order or one thing or another, I'm not going to allow that to keep me from being a good hostess.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Well, I know my wife tries to do a very good job when we're having people over, and I'm not taking away from that because that's greatly appreciated.
It's a good education for kids.
Yeah, it is. It is
to be exposed to different people.
Oh yeah,
and get to know them. You know?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember growing up as a young boy. Now and then, my parents would have. It was a completely different church, but sometimes they'd have a minister or a missionary or whatever, and I think they always slept in my room. I forget where they put me. Today we're talking with Pastor Paul Murphy from New York City. Before we get to the last segment about our expectation of God doing great things in bringing people in. I thought of something just before turning on the mic, and that is the parable of the mustard seed. And I'm wondering if you could remind us what that is in the scripture.
Well, it starts out as a small agricultural item and yet grows into this burgeoning, blossoming tree. And, of course, it's presented as a picture of the kingdom.
Yeah.
That starts small but grows large. And we have a number of Old Testament prophecies indicating that as well. Daniel, for example, which crushes all the other kingdoms and eventually fills the earth, and then its fulfillment in the book of Revelation. So I don't need to do a review of all the prophecies, but I do think that in general we have an expectation of a glorious future for the church and the kingdom.
Yeah, and I've seen all types. I mean, some dear folks think, well, things are just going to get worse and worse. It's going to end up a complete basket case, and everything's going downhill. I don't really like to be around people like that too much. Here we are speaking hospitality, and now I'm antithetical to that, but I don't think that's a healthy perspective. I don't think it's our Lord's perspective.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that we ought to have a positive future orientation. And I think in general, the evangelical, even Reformed Church, has a positive future orientation with respect to what lies ahead.
Yeah,
it's interesting that there are a couple of authors, Alistair McGrath, Philip Jenkins, even Mark Knoll, who have recently written on the future or the next Christendom. And they talk about it being in the majority world or the two-thirds world, or what we often pejoratively refer to as the third world.
Yeah.
And I think that people that have a negative outlook, such as you just mentioned, tend to be a bit myopic. They need to lift up their eyes and see beyond their immediate horizontal horizon.
God is really doing something.
God is doing something in the world. And though the situation in America certainly is dark and not optimistic with respect to Christianity and the church, look at what God's doing in other parts of the world.
That's
a great thing. Yeah.
There's another verse very closely in the same scripture area, the leaven in the dough. And talk to that for just a moment.
Well, of course, I'm not a baker. My wife is, but leavens the whole lump, and it's something that is, minuscule in its origin when you add it to the dough. But of course, anybody who has ever baked knows that what starts out small. We're doing audio, not visual, but what starts out small, let's say in a loaf of bread, after it's done, because of the leaven that is in it, causes it to grow and to increase.
Yeah.
And again, another picture of the kingdom.
Yeah.
That Jesus presents to us.
It becomes pervasive.
Yes.
Today we're talking with Pastor Paul Murphy. You weren't always a Christian. I read that someplace where you came to...
I was converted at 29.
That's interesting. So it wasn't as a child, not as a teen, 29.
Yeah.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. So did you grow up in a Christian home?
I grew up in a nominal Catholic home. The only child of a single mother.
And
my mother was not particularly devout or observant.
Yeah.
And I was an altar boy and memorized the Mass in Latin, was pre-Vatican II, so I had familiarity with that. I went to a parochial grammar school and went to a Jesuit high school, Jesuit college.
Wow.
But the Jesuits probably did more negative with respect to my understanding of Christianity than positive.
Yeah, which is quite sad.
Yes.
Someone may have just stumbled across our broadcast today and saying, what are you guys talking about? What about that person that finds themselves very, very unsure of the Christian faith? Just a bunch of questions and maybe a dad that left the home and there's no reason to seek the Lord, and yet some Bible verses are starting to come to mind. What about that person?
Well, I think that, I think that person would find a father. I remember that was very important to me, not having grown up with the father, to know that God had become in Christ my father.
Amen.
That's very precious to me, the whole teaching of the Bible about adoption and the fatherhood of God.
Hmm.
So I think that that, I don't want to say plugs you in, but connects you maybe to God, and also to his family. I remember that, of course, Jesus says, no one who has left father and mother or brother or sister or others for the sake of me in the kingdom will have, you know, thousands more in glory. And I am so pleased as an only child of a single mother to know that I have a family that transcends time and space.
Yeah.
I can go anywhere in the world, and I have.
Yeah.
And have brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm.
So to that person who may find themselves alone and wondering, why am I here? Where did I come from? What's it all about, Alfie? What's meaning? All those questions are answered by having a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And
right.
Our origin, our meaning, our morality, our destiny, are questions which every human being wonders about. Where did we come from? Why are we here? What's right? What's wrong? Where are we going? What happens when you die?
Yeah.
All of those are very thankfully answered by God in his word and through a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
We've got a couple of minutes left today. We're talking with Pastor Paul Murphy. You're in New York City. Whereabouts are you actually located as we're talking here today?
Sure. Our church is located on 21st Street and Park Avenue South. And if you were to go to the northeast corner of that intersection, you would see a large church building. That is not our building. We meet in the church hall of that building.
Oh.
And the enter is on 21st Street, directly across from Gramercy Park.
Okay.
So we have a sign outside on the sidewalk on Sunday morning, which identifies the door through which one can enter.
Okay.
We have services at 10:30 and again at 11:30. They're two separate services. So you could come to either one. And we'd be glad to have anybody that's listening and interested to come. I'd love to welcome you and even have you to my home.
Oh, my. Maybe I'll come down with that invite. Well, thank you very much for taking your precious time today. We're talking with Pastor Paul Murphy. And, dear listener, you sometimes hear him on the air, 9 o'clock p.m., Eastern on Redeemer on a weeknight on a Thursday, and kind of alternates with Pastor Hosink from the other URC church to your north near Middletown. And I didn't even mention you're with the URC, aren't you?
Yes, that's correct. United Reformed Churches in North America, same as Pastor Hosink.
Yeah. Well, he's a good man also. We've met him.
He is.
He's a dear brother. Any final word? We're almost out of time. Pastor Murphy, before we leave.
Yeah, just Christians, I encourage you to be hospitable. You never know what the fruit of your hospitality will be. You may wind up populating the kingdom, and you will certainly give strong evidence of what it means to be a Christian.
Yes.
To be warm and welcoming. As the Lord has welcomed us, we ought to be welcoming others.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen. It means a lot to people just coming in, and maybe they don't have too many friends. Maybe they're kind of lost in a world of people, and they've showed up on your doorstep for whatever reason, And you can make all the difference in the world for that person.
It's so interesting that in a city of 8.5 million people, in a metropolitan area of 25 million people, the number one problem, loneliness.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Do people ever contact you via the website or anything like that? And if so...
Yeah, occasionally I get contacts from the website. Sometimes they go to the other pastor, Pastor Ragusa.
Yeah.
But... they do through the website, merfnyc.org, which is Messiah's Reformed Fellowship, merfnyc.org is our website.
Okay.
Yeah.
merfnyc.org.
Yes.
Okay. Pastor Paul Murphy, my brother, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, and God bless you.
Dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.